Lecture 12, Westernizers, Bessarion Belinsky.
In this lecture, I'm continuing my discussion of the emergence of the intelligentsia in Russia, such an important group that had so much an influence in later years on how Russians thought about their country and its fate. This time I continue this by focusing on the Westernizers, so-called Westernizers, which was, by the way, the larger of the two main movements of Westernizers and Slavophiles, who I talked about last time. In many ways, the Westernizers are actually more difficult to talk about. The Slavophiles formed a relatively coherent intellectual trend, partly because there weren't as many of them. The Westernizers, by contrast, were much more diffuse and more varied. What really united them and provoked their attacks on the Slavophiles was their belief, shared, by the way, with Chedayev increasingly, that Russia's only hope, that its only future, lay in fully joining the developed civilization of the West. But they had many different approaches to thinking about how to do that and what the West meant to them. Rather than try to generalize about their ideas or to describe them all and all the variety individually, I want to focus on a single individual primarily, a truly remarkable man who exemplified in so many ways the emerging intelligentsia as a whole, and especially the Westernizers in his sensibilities and his ideas, and above all in how influential he would become in later years as in some ways the most characteristic Westernizer. And this was a man named Vissarion Belinsky, who lived from 1811 to 1848. He died quite young. Socially, Belinsky's interesting because he's unlike most of the other radicals of the 1830s and 1840s, most of the other intelligentsia. He's not the wealthy son of a gentry, but the son of a modest country doctor, a sign of how much society is changing that young men like this could also receive enough education to join this intelligentsia. Later, in fact, many young intelligentsia would come from this so-called group of what they called in Russian, raznochinsi, literally people from various ranks, not, in other words, from the traditional estates of peasants and nobles and clergy, but really emerging in many ways from this growing middle class in Russia. And this origin, to some degree, may have mattered. It made Belinsky and others like him, in a certain sense, sociologically alien from his society, having no place in its traditional order, and therefore perhaps more likely to imagine a society in which they did have a place, where the middle class had a place. Now, these sort of determinations, social determinations, are, I think, important in the history of the intelligentsia, but perhaps even more important were personal, psychological influences. And this was very important in Belinsky's case. In fact, in many ways, as I think you'll see, it was his disposition, it was his style that made him so interesting, so compelling to so many, and I think to us as well. Now, the fact that he was underprivileged had, among other effects, an important one in that he was in some ways less prepared intellectually than other members of the intelligentsia. His intellectual skills were less finely developed. Unlike most others who came from the nobility, who had excellent tutors at home, and then went off to university, he didn't have this, and one of the results was that he didn't know foreign languages. In particular, he couldn't read German except in a halting sort of way. He had to have translations, which his fellow intelligentsia were happy to provide. His higher education was also weaker than the others, though he was able to get into Moscow University. He was expelled after 3 years for being a bit of a troublesome student for his political activism. But Belinsky characteristically made up for this lack of very sophisticated intellectual training, such as his other fellow intelligentsia had, with emotional commitment and fervor. And in many ways, this became the essence of his intellectual style. He says, "For me, to think, to feel, to understand, and to suffer are one and the same thing." In many ways, though the particular reasons for this in Belinsky's case are partly social, one sees this in the life of almost all the Westernizer intelligentsia, all the Westernizer intelligenti. Notably, one sees this in his friend and this well-known intelligent, we've talked about briefly before, Alexander Herzen. We've already seen last time Herzen's emotional reaction to the church ceremony in 1826, marking the execution of the Decembrists.